Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. And Sam and Greg, take us with you in the Odyssey app. It is a Sunday morning. It's the 10th day of November. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
And a good morning to all y'all in, wait for it, Candler McAfee.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Candler McAfee.
All right.
So there you go. Throwing it out to you folks here on this Sunday morning, where we have spent more time than we ever have in the entire time that Sam and I have worked together talking about the country of Germany.
Yeah,
easily.
Yeah.
I mean, everything from they've tearing down the Berlin Wall to the game that's happening in a couple hours up there. It's been Val Germans this morning. If you're wondering what the breakfast is that they may be having.
What do you think?
I don't know. It's going to be some
like
kind
I said,
of sausage.
I wonder what you serve. What do you serve at the tailgate for American football in Germany?
I don't know. Maybe you bring them American food.
Maybe
just,
so.
They just have some. Plus, here's the other thing. It ain't going to be breakfast. Right?
That's true.
So they're going to have some Wiener Schnitzel and some luncheon and stuff, some sour. I don't know. I don't know what German fare is.
Yeah, I don't. But anyway, it's the Panthers and the Giants.
Yeah.
Have fun with that.
Good. Exactly. Well, you talk about somebody flipping a coin in a broadcast team for that game. All right, which one are you going to be? All right. Damn.
Yeah, right. All right. Well, what you just heard, a band, a high school band from the Metro Atlanta area as we get ready for this segment. They started something last year with the Celebration Bowl called Band of the Year. And it was for college bands,
right,
which they have had rankings out for that already. They get to perform the night before to be named as Division I, Division II Band of the Year. This year, they're going to add a high school band to that, and the first rankings come out tomorrow. And the band you just heard, we won't say the name of it, we'll say that it's a school in Fulton County. That's all we're gonna say. But I mean,
why
all
are we not gonna say the name?
No, we can't see because the list comes out tomorrow now.
Okay. Well, that's all you had to say.
List comes out, but we have the list.
I ain't you need to be quiet because now if I know you got the list, then people are gonna be texting you wanting
No,
you shouldn't even have brought that up.
I will not tell them.
You snapped at me about it. List ain't out yet, but I got the list.
But we got the list. You can see it. Noel got it. But from around the metro area, bands are being, and tomorrow 15 will be listed. And that's going to move around. People can go on and vote for it. That's coming up December 13th at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, Band of the Year. They're going to get two from the area, and they're going to compete. It's going to be a cash prize. It's going to be cash, some cash. And, I mean, music
department. Remember them days you couldn't say that out loud.
High school music departments, excited about getting, they need.
Well, the players don't get it. The department gets it.
The departments get it. For the band or whatever. But, it's not for the teams. This is for the band. So it's something that they need. They always.
You are around a lot of high schools on a regular basis, and you're there for sports. But since you brought this up, have you noticed what is the music department like in most high schools in 2024, if they have one?
Oh, they have music departments.
So they're
extensive in some places, not just band, but also theater.
Right.
It's
we've just heard cutbacks. That's all I'm saying.
Orchestra. You see it more emphasis in some counties and some school systems than others.
Mm-hmm.
No, but it's it's there. Now, I don't get inside the school to see. I always tell people, I rarely get inside the school. I mean, they stop me at the stadium or the gym.
You gonna stand over there by the field?
You know what I mean?
So it's like Caddyshack.
I don't always get in
the pool and the pond. Pond would be good for you.
That's as far as I get. But that's happening. Don't forget, high school football season finished yesterday. They make up a bunch of games from Hurricane Helene and also from the bio mishap out in Conyers in the Newton County area. Those games were all made up yesterday, so everybody's ready for the playoffs to start this week on Friday and Saturday, and we'll keep you updated on the scoreboard show coming up on Friday. All right, special event coming up later today for an event concerning baseball, you know, in the area. And Atlanta Metro RBI Baseball has a tremendous academy looking to seek and impact the game of baseball in Atlanta and the DeKalb area. John Hollins is going to join us. He's worked tirelessly with this organization to get it and promote the game of baseball, get young people in those communities to play, and he joins us now on the WaitForIt.com hotline. John Hollins, good morning. Welcome to Sports Radio 92.9
The Game
with Sam and Greg.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, guys. I also have with me Jordan Hollins, Operations Director. Just wanted to make sure I share that with you, and thank you guys for having us.
Okay.
Fantastic. You got a special event coming up today. Talk about that and some of the work that you guys have been doing.
Yeah, thank you. We're having Legends of Black Baseball for our area. We felt like it was beneficial to bring some guys in who had played the game for quite some time, the enthusiasm and love for the game, who didn't have the resources that players have today. Now, we're not going to bring up NIL, but just the fact that they love the game and they play it, and many of them have played. Well, those that are still with us played with the likes of Satchel Paige, Ron Smith, played in the Giants organization, Robert Mitchell, Coach Morehouse for 5 years before they reenacted their program. He came back and volunteered and brought it back. We have Bert Strain, who was drafted 3 times out of Oakland, played with some of the greats, very good friends with Dusty Baker and some others that we've had, Vida Blue that I've had a chance to talk to, and he's now here working with us, been a scout for a couple of organizations. And Greg Goodwin, the godfather of baseball,
yes, he is.
For the DeKalb County area, who's done tremendous things at Reed Ann and also around the city with MVP.
John, how long have you been working on this project, and where is it as far as growth at this point?
So the project itself is something that we worked on for probably about 3 months, 4 months when it comes to bringing in the Legends of Black Baseball, having them sit down and talk to the kids and parents about their experience and love for the game, what got them started, why they still play and love it. One of the men, Ron Smith, has written a book, and we're going to do a book signing afterwards. But we really wanted to focus on the love for the game. You know, I feel like with all the work that Jordan and I do in the community and helping kids play the game, the one thing is lost from the game is the love for it. You have too many kids worrying about their velo, worrying about what colleges are going to be at the game, what level of college, D1, D2, D3, Power 5, too many concerns. So we wanted to bring back the love for the game as, and I know I can't talk about everything that we do, but as we do in our humanitarian trip. And we've stopped that right now because of COVID, but we're getting ready to pick it back up and we go to the islands. We've gone with Ozzy Albies and taking kids down to Curacao in order for them to see kids who really love the game for the love of it. We've gone to Puerto Rico with that organization, a couple of those down there, and play baseball. So we're really trying to build the love of the game up for the kids so we can continue to have them go to school, play the game, and love the game.
John, get this right. He said a couple things there that got me worked up. And,
okay.
And this is good because – I was going to ask you about education of some of these players that you mentioned, because one of the things is you talked about these kids focus on things other than the bigger picture. And I wonder if they understand and realize who some of the people are that you mentioned that are part of this this event. When you talk about Vida Blue, do they know who Vida Blue is? Obviously, they didn't see him play, but do they know what kind of contribution this man made to Major League Baseball? And I say that, John, and whether it's John or Jordan, answer this question, it's fine. But today was the day that dude won the MVP.
Yeah.
Vida Blue, today is the day. Him and Joe Torre. This is when they used to split the MVP.
Right.
When he mentioned his name, I was thinking, hang on, we got this on our notes here. He won the MVP on this day. But you guys talk about these trips, and it reminded me of – if you were to ever take a cruise, I mean, these Carnival cruises aren't that expensive, but when you go down to these islands, and I mentioned this to you, Sam, in Dominican Republic, the hunger that these kids were playing in the ports, baseball, to be seen, they were using, John and Jordan, milk cartons as gloves just to get out there and play the game. And for that to be seen by American kids to get into, I think that would do a lot of speaking for you guys and what you're trying to do as far as educating them.
Hey, you're so right. You know, by putting them in front of that, it really changes their perspective on the game. And we've had a lot of success. I first thank God for that. You know, we put him first in everything we do. You've heard of a lot of our players, but one who has played with us, he and I speak from time to time, and our conversation focuses on God first, family, and everything else, so following the steps of our Father. And that's Michael Harris II, who played in our program. We've partnered with some great guys out there to help build and grow the game. Marquise Grissom, Tyrone Newbern, Sean Livesey, and I can go on and on, who have programs. So when I ran the RBI League for 8 years before the Braves took over, all these guys came together with me, and I said, we can make a difference in our own community and building these programs. And Marquise Grissom embraced what I was saying, and through that, we've had collectively over 350 kids going to college. Man. In our program alone, over the last 10 years, we had 105 kids going to college and several in the pros. And so our most important goal, as I told Sam, is to make sure that they go to school and they have the skill level in order to play at the next level, because that's the thing that was missing in our community. Kids were raw, athletic, but they weren't being taught the game the right way.
Hey, guys, and another thing on that same point, this is Jordan. I would say that the biggest thing for kids is that it has to be something they can feel, touch, smell, and actually look as that is attainable for me. The hardest thing for I've seen our kids is when a player might be playing on TV, he might have came from our organization, we might have coached him, but unless they can actually see the process that that player took or hear from his stories and his personal struggles, then it's hard for kids to really believe it sometimes, because just like anything else, you know, that guy's just on TV. It's, that's anybody, just like anything, any athlete. But when they come back and actually give back to the community, that's when it really makes the difference the most.
You guys are doing
remarkable. And Jordan, let me tell you this. Jordan is a well-accomplished athlete himself. Jordan played here in Atlanta, played in our program, played at Paideia High School, went on to play at Chipola Junior College to win two national championships, played in the HBCU with Texas Southern, and then transferred out to Ottawa University, where he took that team to the first championship level, and then was in the inaugural MLB Draft League, where he was the MVP of his team, leading in home runs and triples and OPS. So they get a chance to touch and feel somebody who has played the game at a high level and is closer to their age, so it's more relatable to what they do. But Jordan is correct. You know, being able to have people like Michael Harris, Kyle Lewis, Cedric Curtis. Curtis Terry, I'm losing names. Curtis Terry. And guys like that come in and talk to the team is very important, because they get a chance to see people who played in the program, who came through the ranks of it and understand. And academics, I don't want to miss out on letting you guys know how proud I am of our kids. Our average GPA is 3.5. If you know anything about baseball, there are not a lot of scholarships in baseball. Right. It just came just recently that they raised the amount of scholarships for baseball. So academics, when a coach wants to know how well he plays, the second thing he says is, what's his GPA? You know, because right. He needs to figure out, can he get him academic money? We do that better than anybody in the city, I believe. I'm really proud of that. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'll let you guys.
No, we appreciate you. We got to wrap up with you, though. We appreciate you spending some time with us. How can people find out more? Tell people where they can go and find out more about the work you're doing.
Let me give you the website. It's atlmetrorbi.org. That's atlmetrorbi.org. And we have a hitting facility on Covington Highway, 4960 Covington Highway, where we have a first-class training facility, first time in our area. It's been up for about 8 months, and we have an opportunity to train kids at a high level, softball and baseball.
as well as please follow us on our Instagram, ATL Metro RBI, the same as our website. That's where you can get a lot more information easier and more accessible to you. And we're just trying to grow the game and make it better for all those who search to be good youth around baseball and in baseball.
Fantastic.
There you go.
John and Jordan, we appreciate you spending some time in
the information.
We got to
get these dudes back, man.
Yeah, we'll get you
back. They got more stories.
Absolutely. They got plenty of stories.
Absolutely.
Got plenty of stories. Gentlemen, thanks so much this morning.
Yes, and have a good day. Have a wonderful
day. Thank you, guys. Take care.
Thank you. Yeah, man. We got to get these guys back here. But it was just funny. Like, I was ready to bring up this whole Vida Blue thing, and he mentioned his name.
He mentioned Vida Blue, right?
And, I mean, it was going to be one of those where, like, Joe Torre won, but who's the guy he won it with? You know?
You had to remember that.
Who's going to get it this year?
Man.
Who's your MVPs? Well, one's real easy.
Yeah, well, it's easy there. I don't know who we get for
American League MVP? No thoughts?
I ain't even thought on it.
I mean, either, to be honest with you. I really haven't.
But you just know who the National League is.
Exactly.
There's no dispute.
All right, we are switching gears. Tim Scarborough's going to come on here and tell us what to look forward to this upcoming college basketball season and the event that we have coming up here in Atlanta. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It's Sam and Greg, and I just got scolded. I got scolded for not remembering right off the rip what this was. As we pay tribute to Mr. Quincy Jones, who we lost earlier this week. When it first started, I thought it was Emergency, that TV show. But no, it was Raymond Burr's first hit.
No,
second hit.
Second hit.
I always get those confused.
He's Perry Mason before that.
That's right, Perry Mason.
Then he brought back a different version of Perry Mason than the original Perry Mason.
Okay. Well, anyway.
I mean, in between that, there was Ironside.
The
with the theme done by Quincy Jones.
You were the point you were making, again, for people who don't know, is this dude did so many,
so many
TV shows and movies where he did the score for and the music for I always bring people back to that Kennedy Center Honors. That's the best way. You want to know about Quincy Jones from Soup to Nuts is – I forgot what year it is, but it doesn't matter. Just Google or go to YouTube and Quincy Jones, Kennedy Center Honors, right? And you want I think it's a 20-minute version, but if they give you the whole thing, go past Cronkite in the beginning and get up to where Oprah introduces the video. And the video, like I said, walks you through everything. And then after that, Stevie and Ray Charles come out.
And
that's all you need.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
Yeah.
But they talk about that. Speaking of Germany, Quincy took a big band through Europe and through Germany and lost his money. But again, you need to see this whole thing. All right, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. And we got our guests ready to go. And I wonder if we do, does Tim have a Quincy Jones favorite song?
He probably does.
As we welcome Tim Scarborough joining us again. I talked to this dude this week and we went back and forth. I said, Tim, can you join us? And he was like, all right, I'll set my alarm clock and be ready for you, for you too, man.
Good morning.
Listen,
Good morning. And first of all, Quincy Jones, one of my favorites. And obviously he impacted, as you guys cover, he's impacted so many different genres of music. And almost everybody in the world has been touched by his music. But for me, I'm a big James Ingram fan. I do a James Ingram impression. So,
Hang on. You can't keep going down the road here. You just got to pull over to the side there for a minute. Mm-hmm. You can't throw something out like I do a James Ingram impression and just start talking about college basketball. No, you're not doing that here on the show.
We got Sunday morning.
Come on, man. It's 7:25 in the morning. My voice ain't ready for that.
Well, yes, neither is mine, but so I've done two very bad.
Yeah, we have a little Sunday morning karaoke.
I've already done two impressions. So, and Sam will tell you.
That's why they pay you the big bucks, Greg. That's funny, man. But, man, I love, you know, Baby Come to Me and, you know, How Do You Keep the Music Playing? Yeah, some of those great James Ingram ballads and duets from the 80s, man.
Yeah.
And what I like to do when I was in college, I would sing pop songs in James Ingram's voice. My teammates would be dying laughing. So
okay, hang on a second. So let's make this official now. We'll let you off the hook for today.
Yeah,
but you will be back.
Next time,
you got a special dispensation from the governor. So the next time you are guaranteeing our audience that you will have something because we're going to talk to you live. This is why we're bringing you on. This is the beginning of the college basketball season. So you're going to be back, if not next week, the week after. And
I'll be ready.
You'll be ready to perform some kind of James Ingram. Obama gave us some Al Green.
Al Green, right?
He gave us about 10 seconds of it, and that was enough.
Right?
That was perfect. made the lady scream.
That's
so
all you do.
We give us about 15 seconds of it, we'll be happy.
All right. Tim, we're ready to start this basketball season, and, you know, we got a big event coming up here in town. But my goodness, a lot of talk was about the Auburn basketball team, what happened with them. Hey, whatever happened, they went there. Once they landed, they took care of business. But on the way there, things got a little interesting. What are we seeing?
They tried to handle their business 10 toes down on the plane, right? I wish we had the details because it sounds like it was crazy. But, you know, that's a group that Auburn, they got a pretty good team coming back. Jani Broom, you know, it's interesting. There's so many six-year guys out there now, and Jani Broom is one of them. He's a first-team All-American as a result. You know, 6'10", rim protector. I used to do his games when he was at Moorhead back when he was a freshman and sophomore. So it's wonderful to watch him play at the Power Five and do so well. You know, again, first-team preseason All-American. That's going to be a good team this year. I'm excited to see what Bruce Pearl's group can do. On the court. I mean, and if they throw our hands off the court, then that's a whole other story.
So for the audience members who don't know what we're talking about here, Auburn was going to play Houston. And on their way there, two of the players got into it on the flight to the point where the flight attendant thought there was the safety of everybody else and the plane was in jeopardy, went and told the pilot, and they turned this thing around and went back home, did something. Exactly. Did what our parents all threatened us to do. And then they eventually got there and then won the game.
They won the game. They ended up beating Houston.
So. That is crazy. And Houston, I've been to their building. I watched them play Memphis last year in person. Kelvin Sampson, great coach, has always been a top-tier coach at the college level, has coached a little bit in the pros as well. And his team is really good. They're preseason number 4 in the nation. So for Auburn to go down there and do that, man, quite a start. That's a game I know Bruce Pearl's looking at. It's like, we'll probably take a couple of L's early, but I'll get my team ready for SEC play. But to go down there and win, wow, that's impressive.
That was such a Nick Saban move, too, to turn the plane around and leave them two dudes there and then go and win. He established himself in a way in the eyes of those players by doing that move. And, of course, everything was successful with it. He laid down, he showed who he was as a coach. These guys went out there and got the win. And, yeah, so that will do infinitely more for this team moving forward than us talking about it and, you know, trying to put a stain on it.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, spending time on the WaitForIt.com hotline this morning with Tim Scarborough. Love talking college basketball. He is social. You can find him at TimScar20. We got a big event coming up here in our town. And it's going to tap in the State Farm Arena. It's called the State Farm Champions Classic. These are big names. will these folks be around in March Madness, though?
Yeah.
I mean, in recent years, yeah, they're the big brands, Tim. But when we get to the Final Four, will any of these teams be there?
I can promise you this. One of them will be.
I do, too. I got one.
I know who. It's probably going to be John Shire's Duke team. Ooh. You know, it's interesting. You just mentioned Nick Saban. It's really hard to follow a legend, right? A person that's been at the school, won multiple national championships, is a living legend in the community and around the country. John Shire had that tough task following Coach K, right, at Duke. Coach K won 5 national championships, and, you know, John Shire played for him. There was a lot of coaches that we thought were in line for that job, you know, Johnny Dawkins at Stanford and then Central Florida. You know, Tommy Amaker's done an unbelievable job at Harvard for many years. You know, he used to coach at Michigan. So there's a lot of guys in Coach K's coaching tree. But John Shire got the job, and there's some doubters, as always, when you follow someone like that. But, man, he picked up Cooper Flagg. Cooper Flagg is a preseason second-team All-American, and he's a freshman. And he hadn't even played college basketball yet, and he's All-American. So that tells you something. And Cooper Flagg is considered the top player in the country, really, and will probably be the number one pick in the NBA draft. 6'9", very athletic, super skilled. He was considered the top player coming out of high school. In fact, he reclassified. He's really young. He wasn't even supposed to come out till next year. But if you remember, Carlos Boozer's twins, Cam and Caden, are coming out in the same year. So they didn't all want to come out together. And guess what? Cam and Caden are going to Duke next year. Cooper Flagg won't be there, but Duke will continue to just reload. So I think Duke is Final Four worthy. I mean, they have some really good players, a couple of kids out of Fairfax, Virginia, from Paul the Sixth, you know, a high school basketball factory up there. So I think Duke is going to be there. But, you know, Michigan State and Kansas will be here. This is really, you know, high-powered, high-hitting, hard-hitting lineup they've lined up at State Farm for the State Farm Classic. Michigan State and Kansas, you got two of their last really legendary coaches out there, Tom Izzo and Bill Self, going against each other. And Bill Self won it in 2022. Tom Izzo hasn't won it in a while, but he's been to more Final Fours than any active coach in the country. And then you have a rebuilding Kentucky team. Remember, John Calipari left.
That's what I want to ask you about. No, I'm just going to ask you about that, Tim. I didn't mean to cut you off here. Again, Tim Scarborough joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9TheGame.com. It's Kentucky. And that program, being what it has been and what it has meant to college basketball, and then the guy, it's not like he retired. He saw what the landscape was and jumped ship, right? It's like, I can't get no money to Kentucky, which then, for me, leads me to ask you, what is Kentucky's chances of competing on an NIL level with these other schools? Duke is what it is. Kansas is what it is. Michigan State is what it is. But for these guys to kind of start, really, because they're hitting the Etch-a-Sketch, they're, God, I can't believe I brought that up.
Wow.
They are starting over without all of their history.
Polaroid picture.
Without all that history. And they're in this area of the country that, you know, it isn't very cosmopolitan and maybe not a place that you can get that kind of money. Do you feel like this is, of the four teams, they're going to be one of the harder ones to kind of, you know, hit the reset button and become prominent again? Maybe that's the reason why Calipari left?
No, I don't. I really don't think they're going to struggle. I think they have, remember, the Kentucky Derby is in Kentucky, in Lexington. And they have, there's money in Lexington. The problem was that they were giving it all to John Calipari. So now, you know, John's gone. You got a lesser profile coach there, and Mark Pope came over, you know, former Kentucky player as well, right, came over for BYU. Mm-hmm. Did a great job there at BYU. Again, following a legend, it's going to be hard, very difficult for him to maintain what Kentucky was. But Kentucky wasn't Kentucky the last few years under Calipari. Right. And that's why he left, in my opinion, not because of the NIL money. I mean, Cal is so rich, he could have reached into his own pocket if he really wanted players. But nobody does that. But I think Kentucky will be fine. Arkansas is going to be great because they have Calipari now, and they're going to be spending a lot of money. But you're right, Greg, the landscape has changed. It's going to be the haves and the have-nots in a truer way than it never has been before, because we've seen mid-majors go to the Final Four in college basketball. It doesn't happen in football, right? It just doesn't happen. Because, one, because of the playoff structure, but two, because football is just a different sport. You if you spend the money and you get the recruits, you're going to win a national championship. But in college basketball, anybody can win it. That's why we love March Madness, because it is wide open like that, despite the haves and the have-nots. The have-nots get there, too, sometimes. So that's the intrigue. But, again, Kentucky, man, I think they'll be fine. I don't think they're going to be fine this year, but I think eventually they'll be fine. I don't even know if they'll be fine under Mark Pope. It might be the next coach. But, yeah, I think they'll be fine. I don't think they're going to have a precipitous drop-off like you think, Greg.
We'll see.
All right. State Farm Champions Classic coming up this Tuesday night, 6:30, Kansas against Michigan State, 9 o'clock, Kentucky versus Duke. Tim, you going over there?
You know what? I wasn't. I was going to go to Georgia Tech, but I'm going to Georgia Tech today. So I don't need to see the rambling wreck 2 days in a row, right, Sam? I think I'm going to go on Tuesday. I'm going to get my media pass and go over there.
I'll be in touch with you. I may just meet you over there, all right?
And the two of you, as you're driving over, if you see some goalposts laying in the street, take them back to the field, would you please?
Yeah, I'll do that. And I gotta tell you, before we wrap up, why I had to set my alarm, Greg, because I had to get up at 5 in the morning yesterday because my daughter, 13 years old, plays on a 14U team. I got that team to get up and listen to this segment, so I told them I'd give them a shout-out.
Oh.
The Watley Crew, 14U, Gold Division champions. They're coached by Chan Statham and her sister, Chantel. They did a great job, man. And that was the first time my daughter won a Gold Division tournament in her 3 years of playing travel ball. So she was pumped.
Congratulations. He said that his chest poked out like
proud.
Captain America.
Proud.
There you go.
Proud.
All right, Tim, we've been in touch with you. And get that Quincy ready. Now, what's he got to do?
Yeah.
He's got to do
James Ingram.
James Ingram.
That's what we got in the background.
We got to go.
You pick the song, and I'll do James
Ingram. No, you give us a good one. We're all going to know. We'll leave it rest up to you. We got to go, though, man.
All right,
Tim, we'll talk to you. Tim Scarborough joining Sam and Greg up next. I'll let you how you can get some of this money flying through the air. And then a special guest, the Skyhawks, have their home opener on Monday. We will be talking to Janice Kuhn from that. We're looking forward to that top of the hour. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sitting here with my brushes as this plays. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 92.9 The Game, even though he's using sticks. LineofGame.com. On this Sunday morning, it's the 10th day of November. Sam and I are doing our tribute to Quincy Jones, playing his music throughout the show. And we have, I know at some point we got the Sanford and Son theme coming up, but I don't know when that's going to be. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to talk to Janice Kuhn from the Skyhawks. They have their home opener tomorrow night. Joe Patrick is going to get us ready for Falcons and New Orleans. That game, in case you can't get in front of a TV, pregame at 11, kick at 1 o'clock. Got that for you here. Also, Detroit and Houston tonight, 7:30 pregame, kick at 8:15. Tomorrow night, Monday Night Football, Miami at the Rams. We got it for you right here. And Tuesday, the Hawks travel to the Champs, up to their friends in Boston. My friend, my cousin, from Boston.
Are they going
to
say it like that?
No, they'll probably do it better.
Yeah.
My cousin. Brian Boston.
Maybe they can bring back some of that juice they had when they played New York this week. Ran the Knicks out of the building, traded out the microphone.
Exactly.
You know, I keep reminding people, Knicks fans can buy a
for a second. I forgot to do something.
You know, Knicks fans can buy a cheap plane ticket, fly into town, walk up to the window, and come to a game here. Cheaper, probably, than going to a game in New York. So people say, where are all the New York folks?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, they could actually fly. I mean, a lot of them live here, but they could actually fly into town and get them an Uber over and catch the game here in town for less money than it would cost them to try to get into a Knicks game in New York. But they didn't like what they saw when they came out this time because the Hawks turned them back there. The Hawks roster is getting healthy, and that's the thing. They the injuries they had to start the season, and now they're getting a little bit healthier. Zach Richardson had a big name. Richardson had like 33 points. It's great to see this guy come out and have a big game like this. Not saying he's going to do it every night. I mean, he's still a rookie in the league, still learning. But the fact that he did, that kind of shows you what potentially he can do.
All right.
Yeah.
We got to go out there pretty soon, right? We got like a 92.9 night.
Believe
coming
so.
Up around the corner.
We're going to be out there surfing again. Will they let me with the T-shirt cannon again?
Yeah. No one else.
They won't let me have the T-shirt cannon.
They didn't let you have it last year.
Why would they let me have the T-shirt cannon, man?
You're grown, man. They should let you. They should respect you. Would you throw your arm out there?
I'd like to get that T-shirt cannon just one time. Oh, pop.
Right. And nail some woman in the front row.
No.
Yeah, you are.
No, but he tried to
sitting there. All of a sudden, Sam's got the thing. No. Right to the forehead.
I'm going to turn to the upper deck, man. Try to put it up to the upper deck.
Listen, let me let you know. I had to make sure this was sent out here on X. Get Cast with Greg. The latest casting call is out. It's for the week of November 11th. And let me tell you what's on there. There's money flying through the air. Yeah, you've heard it's slow, and it is slower compared to last year and what it's been, but it is coming back. And I think it's going to be a weird sort of transition because normally the projects are trying to finish up just before the holidays, and here we are just before the holidays. So it's going to be strange watching how this plays out. I just got blessed to start a project that's out at Assembly. I got to go out to Assembly for the first time.
Okay.
And
what'd you think?
This past week. The facility is cool.
Yeah.
The expanse of it, obviously, I didn't get to every soundstage.
Yeah.
But it is what you would think. It's the next, well, I'm not going to compare it to Troilus because they've got like a whole, like Atlantic Station out there in Fayetteville. They're building up. I mean, yeah. Rick Ross paid for an emergency care unit out there, right? Or one of those emergency cares or Medicare or something like that. So they're building a whole community out there. But it was nice going out there. Well, let me tell you about the job opportunities this week. Then I got a couple show business stories I want to tell you about. Hilton Casting doing P-Valley. That's Noel's show. They need, among other things, guys to be on a chain gang. They need investors. They have multiple roles for this one particular day. Everything from a businessman to music artist to party goers, so that you'll see that under Hilton Casting. Rose Locke doing a couple projects is one a need for those of you to be attending a fashion show.
Fashion show.
They have a need for those of you to pretend to be doctors, patients, orderlies, and visitors in a psych ward.
So you got to wear your scrubs.
You got to wear all whatever it is.
The big lab coat or whatever you have there. Yeah.
And a visitor, orderlies, and all and patients. They could put you on a table.
Okay.
So this is one. Yeah, yeah. You're a patient. That's one of the things that I've observed when I'm on set and watching people who have been hired to be patients.
Yes.
They lay down the whole thing, or they're either laying down if they're on a gurney, or they're sitting down. It's not like they're standing around like a lot of other extras.
Okay.
They're laying down. So anyway, you got that. You've got friends of the actress. So there's a lot of needs for these particular two projects that Rose Locke is doing. Bar patrons, restaurant patrons. Stranger Things, under casting TaylorMade, has one of those sort of general info needs where they need a lot of people. They're filling up their database for some upcoming roles. They're going to need you for a fitting, which means you're going to get paid for that.
Ah.
They make you, come on to another day. Other than the day you're shooting, they're going to pay you $50 for that. If they ask you to get a haircut, they're going to pay you for that. They're going to ask you need your car, they're going to pay you for that. So this is the business of show business. And then that's in front of the camera, and I walk you through how to find the jobs behind the camera. I also have, when I talk about this, you get past that, I have the link to the Georgia Department of Labor. So if you need the certificate for all minors. And then I have my voiceover connections. Bill Seller, who's an individual, and then you got Atlanta Voiceover Studio, which is a brick-and-mortar place. And we've had Bill Seller on, and we've had Heidi Rue on from Atlanta Voiceover Studio, both of whom, like me, were friends and worked with Deborah Richards. Deborah Richards also worked in country music here in Atlanta for the longest time. She passed this last week. Okay. And those in the voiceover world know her. Those in country music radio here in Atlanta might remember her. But you know the first place I remember seeing Deborah? When I first got here to Atlanta, station up to dial, like a lot of stations here, radio stations, would participate in the yearly Jerry Lewis telethon.
Okay.
The radiothon. And of course, Ken Cook was the host for years and years. That's the first time.
Sure was,
when I moved to Georgia, the first dude I see on TV, is a guy who looks like Rhett Butler. Right? That's what I thought when I saw Ken Cook. Yeah, just smooth as a gravy sandwich. And he was running that thing for years.
Mm-hmm.
Deborah was his partner
for
a number of years. Tall, statuesque, redheaded woman. And like I said, I want to say she worked with maybe both Moby and Rhubarb Jones, but she was in country music for a long time. Anyway, rest in peace, Deborah. This happened this past week. Now, again, if you guys got any questions about any of this stuff as far as in front of the camera or behind the camera, greg.clarksonodyssey.com. You can shoot me an email. You can reach out to me via X, Getcast with Greg. But the list is there right now. And good luck to all y'all. All right. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Two things I want to just bring up here before we get out of here that I heard this past week. These are stories that have been out there, but I didn't hear them confirmed until this past week. One was, and I mentioned this earlier in the show, Tommy Chong.
Yes.
And you laughed at me, right? And you brought up something that you got.
Class. See, when, Class.
You're doing your Cheech and Chong thing, right? Sister Mary Elephant.
Thank you.
By the way, we're not far away from playing a Cheech and Chong Christmas either. That's just beautiful.
Hey, hamburger dude.
But Tommy Chong is known for a number of things, obviously with Cheech and Chong, but there's stuff in the periphery that you didn't know that he was responsible for. Case in point, and most of you know this story if you listen to our show because we've talked about it before, but if you didn't know, forget that story that that Motown put out and Berry Gordy put out about Diana Ross discovering the Jackson 5. No.
Okay.
No. There was a trio that was playing at an R&B club in Detroit that Joe Jackson used to frequent, and there were a lot of GM workers there that used to go there. And they would have open mic night or something similar to that. And Joe Jackson brought his sons, who were early on and performing together there, and the guy who was there, I think it was Bobby Taylor was his name.
Okay.
Anyway, his trio discovered him, and the bass player in that trio, a guitar player, was Tommy Chong.
Whoa.
And Tommy Chong helped marshal the Jackson 5 to Berry Gordy and Motown.
Oh, my goodness.
That's one story. The other story is this week I heard. That's the Jackson 5 story. But Tommy Chong told the story, and Noel, I'm going to try and get this out, so bear with me here. He had, he did some time, Tommy Chong. And this was at a federal prison.
Oh.
I'm kind of like what Martha Stewart went to.
Okay.
All right. While he was at federal prison, his roommate and him got to be great friends, and he had great stories, and Tommy Chong told him he ought to write a book about his life. I'm going to tell you the name of his roommate in jail. Jordan Belfort. Does that name ring a bell with you?
I was about to say, I think I remember who the roommate was. Yeah.
The roommate. Then the roommate took his advice and wrote a book about his life.
Yep.
That book was Wolf of Wall Street.
Wow. Yep.
That's who he was. And all because of Tommy Chong. And he said, and he told in the story that the stories that didn't go into the movie were even more over the top than what you saw there. So, yeah, Tommy Chong is responsible for that book and that movie. And here's the other one.
Nope.
Kevin Costner is visiting Howard Stern. And he let it be known to Howard that he was planning on doing a Bodyguard 2.
Okay.
Did you know this?
No.
And who he was going for and actually had a conversation with this woman about doing it. And she was receptive. Diana Spencer. Princess Diana.
Really?
Movie came out. The first one came out.
Right.
Early 80s.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
But by the time he was talking about the second one, they had already split. And she, as according to Kevin Costner, she said to him, "Yes, I'm quite interested in that. My life's about to change." This is him telling the story, right?
Okay.
And then he says, she asked him, "Is there going to be a kissing scene in this movie?" And he said, "Well, would you like one?" And Kevin Costner said that Diana said, "Yeah, I would." And there was a little bit more conversation about the movie, and then he says, of course, we lost her. But he was planning to do another Bodyguard 2, another Bodyguard movie, and he was using Lady Diana as the subject. Yeah, think about what that could have been. And it wouldn't have been in her royal capacity, obviously.
Right. Yes.
So it makes you wonder how that would have worked out.
Man.
Yeah, I heard those two this week. It's a couple show business stories. And to put a cap on it, Dolly Parton was talking about, and this is something separate, but like the day after, she's talking about hearing that song for the first time, "I Will Always Love You." And she says she was driving down the road. Nobody told her about it. She was driving down the road, flipped the channel, and that song was on. And she realized a little bit into it that was her song, and then she hit that note, right?
Yeah.
And Dolly said, "When I heard her hit that note, I had to pull over, and the only thing that was available to me was a Walgreens parking lot. And that's where I heard that song for the first time."
Wow.
Dolly in a Walgreens parking lot hearing her song by Whitney Houston. There you go. That's showbiz news for this Sunday morning with Sam and Greg. Listen, we got a special 8 o'clock hour coming up. Going to talk about our Skyhawks. They have their home opener tomorrow night. And joining us next will be Janice Kuhn joining Sam and Greg. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. And take us with you on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.